listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 2nd, all the way into June. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. It's good to be here, as always. And yeah, it's June 2nd already.
We're almost
halfway through the year.
Well, welcome to those listening live, and welcome to those listening in the archives. Glad to have you. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to have a great topic tonight, but as always, before we start, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to have a very, a very reasoned discussion about how disjointed thoughts cause altered realities. And, there was a term, Dr. Hunter, that you brought to my attention last week when we were kind of discussing this idea. And of course, I've heard of the concept, but I hadn't heard of this term yet. And why don't we talk about that a little bit?
I'm learning too, that's one thing about life. You're always learning new stuff.
it keeps things interesting.
The term is apophenia. And really it's kind of when you associate two things and make a theory that isn't a theory at all. And I've been trying to figure out a lot about what's going on with people a lot of time and how some things just don't make any sense to me at all. But it's really about the tendency. Okay, I'm going to go to Wikipedia for a minute, everybody. And if you type in A-P-O-P-H-E-N-I-A, apophenia, really good stuff in there. Okay, so it's the tendency to perceive meaningful connections between unrelated things. So that's the general idea of that. Now, it's often connected with another kind of perception, which is called pareidolia, which is how you can perceive images that maybe aren't there, but based on, again, how you view the world. Like when you see God in a piece of toast or Jesus in a tree or whatever people do.
I think really the question to ask is, do you not see God in your piece of toast every morning? Or, is it just me? Sorry. I'm sorry. That was a little aside there.
But you know, what's interesting to me about that is Michael and I were talking just a little bit before the program, and I said, what's so interesting to me about that is that readers, people who are intuitive and do readings, rely on a type of pareidolia, which meaning I can read clouds. You know, I can look at clouds and I can see the images. When you read a teacup, mm-hmm. when you're reading cards, when you're reading palms, there's what do you see? What is the psychic imagery that gets conjured up? And making that other, you know, link or connection. And, it makes hopefully some kind of sense. So we rely on that, but at the same time, psychology might say, wait a minute. But then if you take it a little further, we do project our beliefs onto what we see. Mm-hmm. Like if you are, let's say, really staunch Christian, and you look at that toast and happens to be a certain way, say, oh my God, there's Jesus. Oh my God. No pun intended. So that's pareidolia. So that making these connections to what we see is really based on what we believe. Apophenia is when we make stuff up. But going to the very end of this article in an Apophenia in Wikipedia, I know a lot of people don't rely on Wikipedia very much, but I like it for a good general reference.
Oh, and come on, I think everybody relies on Wikipedia. Anytime I need to prove somebody wrong, I bring it up on Wikipedia, and I just assume that it's all factual.
We can hope anybody can enter stuff in. That's why it's not necessarily reliable. But I think it was 1958, and I can't remember the doctor's name off the top of my head, who, as he was studying schizophrenia and so on, disassociating thoughts with people, seeing things. That's where he kind of came up with the term about apophenia. But in this evolution, what interested me is how B.F. Skinner, and for those of you who don't know, B.F. Skinner was a psychologist who would do conditioning tests. He even raised his own daughter in a glass box for the first 2 years of her life. You know, and kind of messed her up because she had no physical contact. But his thing was, how do we make connections? Mm-hmm. How do we? So he really went over the top sometimes. So,
bit of a sociopath.
Well, that would be my view. But one of the things is error management theory, and most accredited studies was to Skinner with his box, and it was about superstition. So this one particular experiment involved taking a hungry pigeon, placing it in a box, and releasing a food pellet at a random time. The pigeon received a food pellet while performing some action. And so rather than attributing the arrival of the pellet to randomness, it repeated its action and continued to do so until another pellet fell. And as the pigeon increased the number of times it performed the action, it gained the impression that it also increased the times it was rewarded, even though the whole thing was random. Now, this is where I think a lot of, a really key word here is superstition.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why did this bird fly in my window? Well, there was a glare in the bird flew in your window.
Or it's a sign from the universe that, you know, some course of action should be taken.
Exactly. So it's a fine line there.
Well, it is. And I think what the most important thing is, if the bird flying to the window might not necessarily be a sign from the universe as much as it's something that makes you think about something your inner self is already trying to say.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I think, anything is possible, but it is a classic example of correlation does not equal causation. Just because things match up at the same time doesn't mean that that's the cause of it. Life is very complex. There are you know, literally billions, if not trillions, or really, frankly, an infinite number of variables that are all going on at once all throughout both our world and the universe at large. So, to, you know, the old phrase, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would admit, it took me a little while growing up before I really understood what that meant. I thought it meant that knowledge is dangerous. What I learned is it means that a little bit of knowledge, meaning knowledge out of context, is dangerous.
Exactly.
And, you know, that is the absolute truth, hence it becoming a common saying and a cliche, but it is true.
Oh, you mean like all the Facebook people who know everything?
I feel like you're talking about me, so if you're talking about me, you can just say it.
Well, no. I think what's interesting about the human mind and creating realities, I've used this example, I think a couple of times before in our program, but I'll say it again. When my young son was about 8 and his buddy came over for lunch, he was recovering from the flu. We had pancakes. He got sick. He went home telling mom he got sick from my pancakes, when in fact he had the flu. So he associated, and that's where the brain collides. You know, there's all these other kinds of messages going into the brain at one time. And we could get into the whole psychology of that and the study of the brain, but to make it simple, you get an association of things that are either happening, you're experiencing, thinking about, and they collide into one kind of pattern that the brain can kind of digest, if you will. Because the brain is always trying to make sense of things. So, you know, we're all guilty of that right from childhood all the way to wherever you are in your life right now, is trying to associate one thing with another to make some kind of sense, you know? And you combine that with ego, power, control, competition. It's where you say, Michael, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, because we don't know the wider scope. We're just going by, oh, that fits in this belief system. Oh, wait a minute, that fits in this belief system. Or that belief, you know, I know about this, so that must mean that, when they're really unrelated.
And just remember, and this is true for every human being that has ever lived and that will ever live, challenge what you think. If you find these connections, challenge them, because if it's something that you want to be true, you will look for ways for it to be true. And we all have that bias. Everybody wants to find information that fits their narrative, that fits their view of the world. We find things to support our pre-existing beliefs. That's why sometimes we have to go against that. We have to go contrary to our own desires. I'm sorry, they're doing the, I don't know if you can pick that up on the mic, but there's a Formula One race going on just outside the house. Very exciting, very exciting.
Ooh,
like to multitask when we do, you know, broadcasts. But anyway, it's a complex world. So,
look, you know, we're, Michael, you were raised with religion. I was raised with religion. I think most people here listening to the program have had, you know, that early life exposure. And so right away, you're assimilating all your life experience into that already conditioned belief system. So if I absolutely believe there's a God outside myself, everything that I think about, do, watch, and try to formulate in my brain is based on, it hinges on, God is outside myself. If you question that and you say, wait a minute, maybe that's not true. You know, wait a second. And you say, maybe God is within myself. Maybe I'm part of some big universal energy source. Then everything I look at is going to be different. You know, as my late teacher Frank would say, reality is subjective. But how we're linking things together, you know, is again an even more subjective experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think this is a good point to bring in, drum roll, wait for it, people, conspiracy theorists.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no more perfect example of exactly what we're talking about, apophenia, than conspiracy theories. Now, you know, then that draws a line. What is a conspiracy theory? So we know a few things. We know A, the Earth is hollow. We know that B, there is a group of lizard Illuminati that control things from behind the scenes. But chemtrails, that's ridiculous. So we have to draw the line someplace.
Well, now you see, I'm going to go with the chemtrails and dismiss the other things. See, it's what we're seeing and experiencing. But conspiracy, let's take the radical far-right kind of conspiracy kind of psyche for a moment. It's trying to make sense of, in history, I read that they did human sacrifice. Oh, these people from that part of the world, and they have a lot of money, they must do human sacrifice. You know, it's kind of like those two radically different parts of the brain collide into one. Oh, they look like somebody who would do that. Oh, you know, Tom Hanks, he's part of the Illuminati, and he does this. See, it goes so bonkers.
And that was one of the things that surprised me. And, of course, in this case, we're speaking directly to QAnon, which in North America has become very prominent. Sorry, I had to mute and clear my throat there real quick. But it's not the only one out there, of course, and it has become kind of a coalition of different fringe theories and ideas. But there, I think one of the reasons the conspiracy theories thrive is because there is, just as there always will be, so much more that we do not know and will never know than there is that we do. And that uncertainty about things creates anxiety. And for the longest time, this is a great example, I would always wonder, you know, what is it about flat Earth that draws people to that idea? And it dawned on me when somebody was saying they want you to believe that the universe is massive and it's not. You know, the sun rotates around this disk and, you know, it's all part of God's plan. I'm like, okay, I get it. You don't want to feel insignificant. You don't want to feel out of control. This narrative brings you some semblance of peace, and it makes you a contrarian. And there's nothing that really makes somebody feel, you know, kind of slick, like they have one up on everybody, more than somebody that knows a secret that nobody else knows, or that very few people know, and they're in on it. They figured it out. And not to say that there aren't going to be eventually some situations where somebody figures out something, because things do go on. We have, you know, stories that come out all the time in the press and amongst other things that reveal things that our government and other governments have done in recent decades especially, but all throughout time. So things do come to the surface, but it's very dangerous. And you have you have to be very careful when you form these connections, is all I'll say about that.
I think what we're all trying to do, all of us would like to know better about the truth. And I have to go here because it's a real huge topic of discussion in Canada and I think throughout the world right now about residential schools and 215 children being found buried at a residential school at a Kamloops, BC last week. And they used sonar radar and unmarked graves. And I, for one, have known about this for 40 some years through my Indigenous friends and family. But now that it's coming out more, see, what's important to note about this is how history is spun. Whoever writes the books, whoever has the power and writes the books, gets to tell their reality. And when other things come out to contradict that reality, generally the first thing we think of is, feel, is rage. You know, because we don't like to be lied to. So now this is the perfect breeding ground, unfortunately, for conspiracy theorists, you know, and linking thoughts that may really water down what the most important part of all of this is, you know, the attempted genocide at a whole group of people. And what's needed now in the healing of our culture and our societies and humanity in and of itself. But there's still people in power who don't want that to necessarily to happen. So, and other people who have no power, what do we know? But it's how we write history. So people are trying to figure out who has really written history, why they've written the history, how it's done, and, you know, what is the truth?
Right.
So in that journey of trying to find the truth, we associate things that don't always appeal to others. You know, when I would tell people about unmarked graves and hundreds of bodies, you know, out of residential schools, they told me I was crazy. You know, and okay, I'm just telling you what I know, what has been told to me. And well, that's not true, you know, and of course everybody's got their idea, but indigenous people, and usually by white people. And now it's kind of coming around and I'm sitting, I know this, I'm just glad it's coming to the surface and healing can begin to some degree. But what is the truth? See, what is our reality? It's what we've been fed to believe.
Well, this is very true.
We have to discern what makes sense in what we believe and what makes sense to you. So that's going to be a tough one because truth, we hope, is based on a fact, but truth isn't always on a fact, you know?
Well, and truth is often in interpretation and one having ethics.
Yeah.
And ethics and morality is what brings kind of a moral truth to a situation. I've been, you know, we just passed here in the United States the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa race massacre, and this is something that I frankly thought more people would have known about. I mean, I did come across it years ago.
Me too.
But it's a lot of people are, you know, posting about how they never knew, and Tulsa at the time had a wonderful, creative, you know, vibrant black community that was often called Black Wall Street. It was a place that was just really...
Well, it was a thriving community when, you know, people of color,
sorry,
black people in particular, African-Americans, mm-hmm, were attempting to find their individuality and autonomy, went and built their own community, and it was successful.
Yeah,
but
sorry about that.
White people would have no part of that.
Well,
white
and
people
there was,
said, no.
It was something that, you know, it was a classic mix of, you know, tribalness, you know, of the other, of something, a spark igniting it, people believing something that wasn't true, looking and seeing a threat that wasn't there, and leading it to hate, which led to cruelty, which led to all the darkness that you will see in humanity being brought to bear in that day, or those days, frankly. But that being said, people then formed connections about race that did not exist. This is a perfect example. People thought things that were not true. Those thoughts, those beliefs led them to horrible actions. And they, you know, they can never be undone. And it set things back a long time. This was a community that was, you know, one of the first after the Civil War era when, well, I don't want this to be a complete dive down into that historical topic, but nonetheless, it is simply an example of that. And I think conspiracy theories are another, it's something that is not new. It's basically when you take something you have very little information on and you extrapolate. And there's an art to it, and some people have a lot of intuition and they can form connections very well. And then at other times, you can't. And even when somebody can form connections, it is only the basis of beginning to try to confirm something. It's the beginning of an investigation. It's the beginning of a process. So be careful. Don't trust your own.
Yeah.
Well, don't necessarily think that you won't fool yourself into believing something is true because you want it to be true. Question your own desires about what you want to be true and examine it even more stringently because of it.
I think when, here's why, it's really simple to me, but when you want to figure out the world and how it's working, in other words, the way humanity is set up, you know, this existence of day-to-day living, follow the money. It's always about follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you want to know what's going on? Just follow the money. Otherwise, there's nothing much more to see except people being people mm-hmm. and sometimes just doing really dumb things, you know, and whatever.
Well.
So it's never mind about, you know, who's sacrificing what or who's having, you know, secret prayer things and whatever and the, you know,
well,
the
you need
Illuminati
the,
doing stuff.
You need the adrenal glands. They make you live forever. And that's what Tom Hanks knows. So,
oh,
you know,
that's
some truth
what
bombs.
It is. Of course, of course. Now, I'm not saying that some of these things don't exist. Look, historically, a lot of things have happened, you know,
sure.
through course of humanity, but really it's about making things a little bit simpler. That being said, I would like to bring this all the way around to apophenia being a state of how the mind is trying to figure things out, which is really important in matters of, and as if you ever go and read this article, it in art, music, you know, and everything we do in life, when you're altering your view of things, it's a form of apophenia. I'm the first to say when I do my sculptures and I'm doing my little gnomes and with the little pointy ears and, you know, three fingers on each hand, and it's my altered reality, which some could say is a form of apophenia, but it takes that state to be able to create that. And as long as we don't take it too far, see, that's the thing about kind of grounding ourselves into knowing how we function in daily life, what's real, what's not real, and what is altered, what's not altered, you know, and appreciating that wherever you live on the planet, you're going to have a different view of life.
Mm, very true.
And however you link together certain thoughts is just going to be your reality. And I think we can all agree, though, I'm going to reference back to the top of the program and you're reading the nine principles of belief, Michael. As we're an evolving species in humanity, no matter what little belief systems we can have about how we want to, you know, take out your garbage or drive your car or what you want to buy, it's the nine principles of belief keep us grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And grounded in our humanity. And that's what I appreciate about the nine principles of belief. If you ever get a little bit off course, you're questioning things, just read the nine principles and say, okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And stay in that goodness of yourself. And what can I change? What can I not change? What can I work with? How do I navigate life? And maybe, you know what, I have to question everything I believe and don't take it to heart. You know, you're not going to lose your mind. You might actually gain one.
Well, you know, a lot of times you have to question everything, but you have to be open to to new realities, to new truths. But of course, you can't be so open-minded that your brain falls out, as they say. But it is a vast world. And so often you look at life and it is utterly absurd. Just the things that happen, it makes no logical sense. But nature has no obligation to make sense to us all the time. So we do the best we can. We do the best we can to navigate this world. We talk about forming connections a lot tonight, and that's what we do as human beings. We form connections. We look for patterns. It has allowed us to survive, to thrive. It has led to the scientific method, which is really a more refined version of that. But it is always evolving, and we are always evolving, and our knowledge is always evolving, and it's a good thing.
Well, on that note, anybody would like a card, start putting your names in the chat room. I want to say that there's been a big, long bunch of chatter going on here, and trying to keep up with it a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a vibrant conversation. It's always good to see.
Dr. Greg says an old joke, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. You know?
I don't. Yeah. I was happy to get rid of it. It caused me nothing but problems.
Oh, you know, it's kind of, well, it is funny. You know, I used to think I had a mind, and then when I gave it up, I got a new one, and I liked myself all the more for it. So it's really, part of that is that deprogramming from, you know, early childhood. Look, every soul lands on the planet and trying to figure out what's here. What is this? You know, and trying to believe the people you're entrusted to and what they're giving you as the reality. And when you start questioning and you find out they're not real, it's emotional. You go through a lot of emotional upheaval and reconfiguring things to say they're just good people who believe that. It doesn't mean they're bad, you know. And that's the thing to remember in our humanity is, I'm not a Christian, but that doesn't mean all Christians are bad. And I think
not
that's,
all of them. I mean, come on. But no, I mean, I will borrow something, if I may, from what is considered to be a Christian saying, although I have no doubt that the idea predates it. But forgive them, for they know not what they do. Doesn't simply apply to, quote unquote, sitting against God. It just, forgive people for they're not aware enough to realize why the thing they're doing is wrong, why it shouldn't be done. And, you know, there is a sliver of people that are aware of why it is wrong, and they don't care. They want to see the world burn, and, well, they can all go to hell and rot. Excuse me. But it's not the majority of us. We are the human animal, and we have a lot of things built in, instinctual things, patterns that we follow. That's just the way it is. But that's all I have to say about that before we get on to some cards and we have names flowing in.
We sure do. Let's start with Jamil, shall we? We'll just get right to it. I hope you've all enjoyed that conversation tonight, because I know I find it fascinating myself. And, you know, it's always, it's interesting to be interested in the interests of people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And,
interesting is kind of a useless word, but because it doesn't really mean much. You know, we'll do that. So, are you ready for Jamil, Michael?
I am. And I pulled number 44, attitude and disposition.
All right.
Let's see. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, Jamil, the Six of Spades comes up for you, and it's just showing that there might be a few pressures around right now. You're getting there. Simply in the symbology of this, you're getting to your destination, but there's a load to carry to get there. You know, so attitude and disposition. Sometimes some days are harder than others when you're overwhelmed or overburdened, but know that one day at a time, one inch at a time, you're getting there. And I feel really good about something for you. Again, just it comes to my mind. Over the next week, 10 days, I think you're going to feel some of the pressure lifted. So something good is coming around the corner. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right. Hope it connects. Good message. And
hey, we have Dr. Jeff here with us tonight.
Jeff, we do.
Good to see you.
And glad to have you with us, Dr. Jeff. And tonight I have a wild card number 6, entropy.
Entropy.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place for it.
Jeff, I got the star. The star in support of entropy. No, you know, the star really represents consciousness, the flow of life. Think of water and that constant flow. But it's also about what nourishes life. So in entropy, it's your looking, maybe taking an inventory about what supports your energy now and supports the direction that you're going so that your energy is more consistent. Everything is more conducive to your frequency, in other words, because you're moving ahead. So anybody who's not up for the ride should just get out of the way, is what I would think. So I hope that makes sense to you, Jeff. And thanks to Jamil for the feedback there. Jamil, I appreciate that. You know, just a little interruption here, Michael. Dr. Greg has his cards, and he has pulled a card for you.
I saw that. Meditation.
And meditation. And he just pulled a card for me, which is nature. Now, if you could put in there what cards you're pulling, Greg, I'd appreciate that, because what deck you're using. Delving into the ascetic glory of nature. I probably live in the most beautiful place in Canada, Greg, so I gotta tell you, I look out my window and I see a whole valley and mountains. I go for a walk every day. That is my therapy. It's my healing.
I miss the mountains.
And, in speaking of, these little characters that I build, a friend of mine told me today I should, because I've been building little Ogopogos, those what we call the Okanagan Lake Monster, kind of like a snake, whatever. Anyway, they've been selling in the store that I have my stuff in. And so somebody said today, well, I can't wait till you start making Bigfoot. And you know what? It hadn't even occurred to me. I said, well, it's all your fault, because now I have to figure out how to make a Sasquatch.
Well, that sounds like a fun project. Well, the first thing you have to do, first off, you have to model one in the wild. So you find a Sasquatch in the wild, then you use it as a model to create your sculpture. So, that'll simplify the process.
Crazy, because I know people here who claim they've seen it. I don't disbelieve them by any stretch. I have actually gone Sasquatch hunting. I do not see them, and it's really choked me up.
Yeah.
But when I go walk by the creeks and stuff, I don't see the beaver either, but they're out there. And sometimes when there's a little, our local paper and they get a picture of the beaver over by Starbucks, well, my friend of mine and we joke, we say, no, he's gone to Starbucks for a coffee, so we don't see him in the creek.
All right. Has anybody tried leaving a Starbucks coffee out in the forest to see if Sasquatch comes and gets it?
Well, we should.
All
Dr.
Right.
Greg says he's using the Healing with Angels Oracle cards by Adoring Virtue. So thanks for that. Actually, it's a nice set.
Oh, very
nice. It's good. I haven't even been near them for years, so that's a good reminder. We have Dr. Shirley up. Thanks for your patience, everybody. We had a little diversion there, so.
I feel like we should be, I personally should be saying that the entire broadcast. Thank you for your patience. Sorry about the diversion. But on to Dr. Shirley. We have a wild card again. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, of interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
I have the Page of Clubs for you, Shirley. Page of Wands. Now, all the pages are that communicator, the bridge card between the minor and the major arcana. And clubs represent some kind of shift or change. So I'm going to take this to literal value. And this indicates hope for, improvement in communications, that you're getting your point across, you'll feel heard, but you're also hearing others. So there's some talking coming. I'm going to say that you'll be talking with people more in the next while and feeling better about your relationships and things to come for you, that you can feel feeling a sense of purpose again. So I hope that makes sense. Good.
All right.
Dr. Edward is next.
And always trying to pull a card that Dr. Edward's never gotten before, and we'll see if I did it tonight. Number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic, and it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
The supporting energy to that, Edward, is the Seven of Spades. Now, however other readers might interpret that, I see it as a good card. I see it as things going better than you intended, making a way with more than you intended. Maybe some opportunity is coming your way. So deliberate intent, focusing on what you hope for, would like to have, visualize that, and things are starting to come. And what I'm feeling is I hear the phone ringing. So I think people from your past are going to connect with you again, and maybe there's an opportunity for you to get involved in something and do something. So heads up. That's what I say.
All right. Very good.
And Wendy is next.
Our card keeper, Wendy. All right. Always love pulling a card for you, Wendy. And I have wild card number 3, blocks. Got a lot of wild cards tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be time for a new direction. But do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight are required. Remain open.
Well, the Two of Diamonds supports that, Wendy. And, you know, some people can see blocks as a negative. And I don't. Sometimes it's that energy at work that's saying, just stay still for a moment. You know, and that's supported by the Two of Pentacles. It's just remain balanced. You know, kind of like you're exactly where you're supposed to be at the moment. Don't push and don't think that things are an interruption in your life when maybe that's good. Maybe the distraction, maybe the diversion, maybe there's a healing process that, you know, wants to take place so that you'll be more empowered on the other end, so to speak. So I say that things right now, chill out. If you see that things aren't kind of going smoothly like you want to, these interruptions will actually make things better. So just stay as balanced and together and grounded as you can. That's what I see.
Good message. We have Audra. And Audra, I have pulled another wild card. I think this is going to be a record for wild cards tonight. Wild card number 2, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Strength. You've got it, Audra. So if you're feeling like you might feel a little exhausted right now, might be feeling a little bit tired, spent, you know, or had enough, you know, in over your head, you have the will and the desire and the strength to see it through. So it's really, you've got the and then some is in you, even though sometimes you just have a tired day. Sometimes it's just one of those weeks, you know, where you want to just hide. So she said little is an understatement. Thanks for that feedback too. But I'm hearing you, and it's just you have it in you. It's just ride it out. Sometimes navigating each day is you feel like it's taking everything you've got to get through that day. Well, one thing at a time, focus on only the tasks at hand. I think it's harder when our mind's in different places. You know, if you're doing one thing, but you're thinking four other things, it makes it a little bit harder. So focus on one thing at a time, and you'll gradually strengthen and replenish your energy. So, and I can see that there's a little bit of a rest coming up for you. I don't know if you have days off from work or something happening, but I can see you, you know, kind of chilling out and, again, gathering your forces. So you've got this.
Good message. You do. Good message.
There's a question.
Let's see.
Jamil was asking, what was his first card along with the Six of Spades? And it was attitude and disposition, Jamil. So that's he's just asking there in the chat.
Good on you. We actually have Ronaldo first. And before we wrap up, and I know that Wendy had mentioned that Andre had that card a few months back and then some. And I, you know, from what I know of Andre, I always know that she's always given a bit more than what is required in the situation. So seeing that repeat. And, of course, love hearing the messages tonight, Dr. Hunter. You always have, you know, so an interesting take and an intuitive direction that you provide. So, Ronaldo, we're going to go ahead and ramp out this evening.
I'm sorry I missed Ronaldo. Thanks for finding that, Michael. It's good.
This is insane. I'm just, you know, I'm shuffling the cards. You think I'm just being lazy going through the book. I don't want to change the page. Well, I pulled another wild card. Wild card number one, my personal favorite Ronaldo paradox. Because what is life other than a giant paradox?
I agree totally.
All right. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Two of clubs, Ronaldo, and it's what I see is maybe the vision for your future isn't what others might have expected of you. That's what I want to say here. I'm inclined to say, you know, when others have an expectation or they think they know you or they think that they understand you, and kind of put you in a little box but maybe you're more than that or different or have different ideas. So following your own path, and I think there's the paradox, right, where you're doing what's expected of you, but you have other ideas for yourself. So you're looking at the future in a different way, and I want to say that you can pull this off. You can still balance your life, still appeal to everyone's needs, but take care of your own. So I see some, you know, initiating some changes for yourself coming up, and I'm, you know, I kind of get goosebumps when I think about it. So go for it. Absolutely go for it.
All right.
Here we go.
All right. Well, I think we managed to get everybody at this point. I'm just scrolling through chat. It has been an active discussion. Always love to see it. And, you know, always love the feedback that we get from everyone. Thank you very much. It really kind of brings it together for us, too. But I think we got everybody.
I think so. All right. And, appreciate the humor from Dr. Greg. Paradox or paradox. That's funny. You gotta have humor, everybody. Have humor. Like,
you know,
it's a crazy world.
It is. I would often tell myself years ago and still do from time to time that life is absolutely and utterly absurd. And you can either laugh at the absurdity or you can just let it, you know, force into a fetal position in the corner and cry. But I say laugh. Laugh at it instead. Because,
well, you know, that's what we're talking about, reality, right?
Yeah.
What's your reality?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I constantly remind myself about how fortunate I am in this incarnation to be where I am and how I am. But I also remind myself that I live in a bubble. Mm-hmm. So I poke my head up all the time. I want to see where people are, how they're doing. And then I come back to my reality and apply my energy to my sphere of influence. There's not much I can do about, you know, a lot of things on the planet right now, but I can influence what I have here and do something that's a little bit different. We're coming into the summer, so I'm going to leave everybody with this thought. This summer, I'm going to be babysitting my grandkids. They're 11 and 13 on Wednesdays, because that's the only day that their parents are both working full days and they'll be out of school. So what we're going to do is the cooking thing every Wednesday. I'm going to teach them about cooking. We have to set up the menu, look at the budget. We have to do the shopping, the prepping, the cooking. And then I'm coming here, coming home to do this program while they serve their parents supper. You see?
And
it's something fun and different. And that's where I can affect in my sphere of influence. And it's for a small time. It's only through the summer. But that's where, again, you know, especially nurturing young people, nurturing people around you in a good, healthy, wholesome way. Wendy's saying, cooking, Dr. Vicky, I like cooking. think about something different that you can do as we're coming out of. We're not out of COVID, folks, contrary to what a lot of people think. But we're being more responsible at it. Some of the pressure is lifting. Mm-hmm. So as you emerge out of your cloistered reality and start interacting, think about how you can, you know, affect your sphere of influence in a good way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the more people that do that, that make just their sphere of influence a better place, make it easier for those around them, help those around them, we're creating a better world through all of those steps. So great message.
Yeah.
And great discussion, as always, Dr. Hunter. I always appreciate, you know, being able to get into these deep topics and kind of play around with some of these ideas, go through some of these thought experiments, and you've consistently opened my eyes to these new concepts like apophenia, and it's a great discussion. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the feedback we get. I love seeing everybody in chat each and every week. It's definitely one of my highlights, and I appreciate it very much. I don't know.
That goes both ways, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, that's the only reason I was even complimenting is just fishing for one more for myself. We all know it. We don't have to hide from it. But I don't know that we have a topic for next week in mind yet, did we? Or...
No,
it's going to be a mystery. It's going to be a mystery. You're all going to be fascinated.
Hey, why don't you all just bring your open discussion for next week? Anything that you think you want to talk about? Have you had some weird dreams lately? Put it in the chat. Have you had some, you know, interesting experiences? Have you got some questions? Throw it in the chat, and we'll have one of those kinds of days.
All right. Sounds like a plan. All right. So until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.